Turn up the volume, I've got more to say. I think if we could start conversing, we'd be chatting all day. And in the evening, we could choose to roll our spliff, cook some dinner, and kick off our shoes. Step into night, we could live our delight. Come together in a frenzy when the feeling's alright. And in the morning, I bet there would be time for toast, another spliff, a cup of Roybos tea. We got the music and we got the time. We got rhythm, we got music, we got Cape Town sunshine. You're not the only. Only one life to live. Too many paths to choose. I've got a bridge to burn.
Good morning and welcome to episode 214 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I am David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. Great to have you on board. Lots of hoops to talk about, almost too much hoops. We're getting back to that point where, you know, you have so much stuff going on and you really have to pick what you want to watch and the time that's allotted for it. You know, EuroLeague has its first week. Champions League started yesterday and with its regular season. Euro Cup has started. FIBA Europe Cup is going to start. Domestic leagues all over Europe are starting. So, you know, you want to watch, obviously, the one where you're, you know, most heavily invested in. And then also, you know, trying to just keep up on everything else. So, NBA, you know, is about a week away. NCAAs have had their first practices, their first midnight practices. Those are always happening in mid-October. So we are full loaded with hoops now. It is basketball season for sure, and NBA is really you know, the last one to join on board. I guess maybe the last one might be college basketball, but loads to talk about. Unfortunately, don't have loads and loads of time to talk. I have some other things that are going on, so not gonna be able to talk about loads and loads of things. But we'll kind of address a couple of things. First of all, if you want to get in contact with the show, easiest ways to contact me at Hein News on Twitter, HEINNEWS. There's the Facebook group. Just put in "Taking the Charge Podcast," and you will find us. There's HeinNews.com, HEINNEWS.com. And the email address is HeinNews@GMX.de. You can support the show. Go to Patreon.com/Taking the Charge, all one word, Patreon.com, Patreon. Pledge your support to the show. It would be much appreciated. Thanks again to Norbert Opitz for doing that, as he's showing the love. You can also rate and review the show on iTunes. I guess those are the main avenues to reach me, reach the show. Probably in my eyes, one of the biggest news pieces is that's basically that, Argyris Pedalkalis, has stepped down as the head coach at Panathinaikos, after a total of, three games, one game in the EuroLeague, a victory over over Shagiris, and then a first week victory at home over Prometheus, and then a pretty bad loss, if you want to, you know, I mean, it was a 25-point loss to Olympiakos at Olympiakos, but then threw in the towel at such an early stage of the game. You know, this is their fourth coach in the last four seasons. You know, they just have not been able to create any stability since Obradovic left. So now the Panathinaikos bosses are left looking for a coach. EuroHoops had mentioned apparently there might be a clause in his contract that the club could bring in an American, a coach from the United States to help with the team, and that's just not something that he wanted, I guess, is what Eurohoops.net was reporting. So yeah, Paralukas is out, and 3 games into the season, you know, they stepped up the budget this year again, and definitely want to sort of create some stability, and you know, this kind of thing ain't something that's gonna ain't gonna help it. So now Panathinaikos is looking for a job, and I tell you, you know, it seems like you know, another guy leaving, and it's losing the attractiveness of it. You know, there's definitely a feel of chaos. Maybe not chaos, but you know, definitely some not a very good situation going on. And for the supporters of the team, hope that they can find somebody soon. And it's going to be interesting to see who they bring in, if they try to go big name from abroad. So watch that for next couple of weeks. I'm sure they want to bring in somebody as soon as possible, but they did say that they want to bring in someone for the long term. So maybe they, you know, wait a couple of weeks to actually fill it. But a tough situation for Panathinaikos. EuroLeague in general, a couple of exciting games. Didn't have a chance to really watch much of it. Had the Real Madrid Olympiacos game on for a little bit, but was just kind of doing other things at the same time. But a couple of exciting games. You look at Dasha Faku beating Zvezda in Belgrade, and by just 3 points. A tight game. We also had Milan beating Maccabi by 2, and also Baskonia taking down Efes by just 1 point, and Fenerbahce Brose Bamberg also a 1 point victory for the home team, Fenerbahce. So some good stuff. You know, Fenerbahce, did watch a little bit of the Fenerbahce Bamberg game, and I can't remember if I've said it on the show or not, but I think this Bamberg team is really it's hard to say you lose Brad Wanamaker and you get better, but you know, you bring in a guy like Cosser, who's so calm and does a really good job setting things up, and then you also bring in a big that they had been sort of missing in Feramenko, and also a guy like Mauro Lo, who's only going to get better as he gets used to the system, get used to the college, get used to the professional game and everything else. You know, everybody else knows each other that much better. So I think it's a team that's only going to get better. Just a couple, you know, really big plays. Bogdanović had a couple of big plays. Antic had 2 big threes that really kind of shifted the momentum in Fenerbahce's favor, and he just held on and got a much too close victory in their eyes, Fenerbahce, and so have to see what happens this week. I think a couple of interesting games. You know, Olympiacos looking to rebound against Efes. You also have, from traditionally a big game with CSKA and Panathinaikos. Have to wonder exactly what that's going to look like now. You know, Barcelona and Fenerbahce, you know, a nice matchup there. And Maccabi and are hosting Real Madrid. Yeah, so yeah, a couple of pretty nice matchups. And you know, Galatasaray playing at home against Zvezda, you know, probably a game they really almost need to win. You know, they're gonna have to hold court at home as much as they can, Žalgiris kind of in the same boat against Baskonia. Yeah, Champions League. I didn't really watch any of the Champions League action. The first half of the first game day took place on Tuesday yesterday, and I think Sabona losing so big to Tenerife was a bit of a surprise at home, losing by 28, Mega losing at home by 14 to Avellino, Athens putting the beat down on Shalonin. That was pretty impressive. 33 point victory, the 43 point victory. A couple of good games. Monaco, I was a little bit surprised Monaco beat Frankfurt that well. Frankfurt is still has some work to do to get up to speed. Besiktas, a big win, 17 points on the road against Charleroi. Again, the other second half of the Champions League goes today. So that's Kimmich and Ventspils and Oldenburg, Neptunas. Nice game. I think Ludwigsburg Partizan should be a pretty decent game. Probably the best game of the game day. The first round will be Varese and Asvel. Going on in Italy. That should be a pretty good one. So Champions League. That's the first half of the first game day. So some good stuff there. That's stuff's on Live Basketball TV. And the EuroLeague is obviously on EuroLeague TV. FIBA Europe is FIBA Europe Cup is on FIBA Europe, the Euro Cup. I think there are some games, a couple of games on Eurosport, if I'm not mistaken. But kind of have to check on that. All right, heading over to Germany. You know, we've talked so much over the years on this podcast about the German league and its high level in general. And you have a really good, strong group of leaders with Bamberg, Bayern, and Ulm all undefeated. You have Bayreuth playing pretty well. They haven't really beaten anybody big yet other than Würzburg. Würzburg finally brought home their first victory. Skyliners, like I said, you know, kind of trying to find their way. Alba got blasted down in Munich. Not necessarily surprised that Bayern beat them, but the fact that they lost so big against Bayern was a 39 point victory. Pretty impressive showing by Bayern Munich, much further along than Alba Berlin is, and probably a better team in general. You know, it's kind of the two big B's and a lowercase Alba Berlin, even though Berlin have their name in all caps. But Ulm's been impressive, but I think people were expecting them to play really well. They brought everybody back, basically, and got some nice reinforcements. So, you know, Ulm's going to be a pretty tough out. They're going to be right up there all year, and be interesting to see what kind of they're playing Euro Cup, how much the international basketball is going to drain them a little bit or not. Obviously Bamberg, you know, with the extra games in the EuroLeague, gonna hit hard. If they could take that, but the team like Ulm, you know, maybe they could steal home court advantage against over Bayern or whatever. But I mean, it would seem to me that they are going to be fighting for second place, third place, right up there. You know, I don't know if Ludwigsburg is going to be able to stay up there. You know, they're already two losses behind, two down in the loss column. So we'll see. But one of the reasons why I wanted to stay, wanted to go to Germany was, so, I mean, like we said, you know, everybody's talking about the impressive German league, and, you know, they're obviously in, you know, stated goal of being the number one domestic league by 2020. But, you know, they ran into, you know, one of the things that, that you never want to, if you, you know, if you're, if you run the league, you never want to see, and that's a team, you know, probably going into bankruptcy. You know, they, Phoenix Hagen have said that they, have told the Easy Credit BBL that they're going to start bankruptcy proceedings. As soon as they do that, they'll be docked 4 points. So they'll basically, that's basically the equivalent of two victories. So they'll have to, they're already one victory behind a group of 5 teams, are already 1-4, and Hagen is 0-5. So basically, you know, you're 3 games behind 5 teams already after 4 games, after 5 games of the season, 5 rounds of the season. And, yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, I guess, you know, they've said they'd like to, you know, keep going the rest of the season, and then basically make sure that they can get the license for next year. You know, if it is the case, then in the second division, the Pro A, and then restart and then try to work their way back up. But besides being 0-5, the club's also filing for start bankruptcy proceedings. So not an ideal situation, and so it's not not what you want to see, but you know, it's a fact of life that, and you know, they're going to yeah, I guess the paperwork that they handed in back in June, there's quite a bit of a difference than what's going on now in October, and so now they have to figure out what they're going to do. And I know the league's not too happy about it, but that's basically what it's got to be. That's what it is. Now they have to deal with it. Okay, so basically, I guess one of the early surprises this year so far has been that Bayreuth are sitting right up there at 4-1. In fifth place, behind the big undefeated 3 and Ludwigsburg. And you know, it's I checked them out actually a couple weeks ago, and was pleasantly surprised with the team. You know, they have a nice group. You know, Raul Korner is a pretty good coach. You know, they have a nice group of Americans with Kynan Anderson, Damon Brooks, what's the other one? Nate Linhart, who obviously has some experience, and Joe Lewis. You know, these are guys who you can imagine that they are not going to be here next year if they keep playing the way they're playing. Because they're playing really well, and they'll probably try to they could probably use this to jump somewhere else. They're also getting some very good performances from their German players, Andreas Seifert, who's you know, one of their German bigs, 27-year-old. He's been playing really well, had a double-double. You also have Robin Amias, who's a 22-year-old. Shooting guard, came over from Braunschweig. He's been playing pretty well. You know, there's Steve Okalski, who scored 20 points. I think he had 4 or 5 threes in the game that I went to. And you have Basti Dort, who's a nice point guard, veteran point guard, a grinder, and you know, that's the kind of things that they need. And so yeah, you put all that stuff together, and it's a pretty nice grouping of players. And you also have the interview partner of the week. I had a chance to talk to Assem Marai, Egyptian international player, national team player, 24-year-old, came, this is his second year in professional basketball, played last year at Chalai in Lithuania, and has come to the Easy Credit BBL and played pretty well, mainly off the bench, but has averaged 11 points, 6.4 rebounds, had a really strong game against Würzburg, 15 points, 23 points against Jena, and then grabbed 10 rebounds against Braunschweig to move to 4-1. And there's also the Egyptian national team. You know, he's been one of the leaders of that team for a long time. Since 2011, he's been playing for the senior team. And so I had a chance to talk to him. So here's my chat with him. Hope you enjoy it. And we'll catch you on the other side of that.
Bayreuth, you had a pretty good game today. Big victory at home. Maybe first in general. Thoughts about the team's performance first?
Well, we did pretty good at defense, and our offensively, our chemistry is going great. And every game we take a good step forward to being a better team. So the bench was great. The atmosphere here is great. We did what it took, and we pulled off the win.
Big game for you coming off the bench. First of all, it was a nice little battle with Lunchar, and then you just kept going in the second half, and were really you were the main big man down. Just thoughts about being able to produce so much so early in the season.
Well, my team put me in a really good position and did a really good job in finding me and put me in positions that I'll be able to score easily, pick and rolls, good post up feeds and all that stuff. So it was a matter of one-on-one, which I'm pretty good at. If it's just one-on-one in the post, and if my team had a good job spacing, we'll be really good offensively. But other than that, usually I get in foul trouble, but I avoided that today. That's one thing that I really had to learn coming off the preseason and the first couple of games in the regular season, is just taking care of my foul trouble.
What do you think about the level? We're three games in. You were in Chalet, and you had FIBA Europe Cup last year, so you had the international competition, club competition. You know, sure, you knew some things about the league, but in general, three games in. What do you think about the level here?
It's pretty good. It's a great atmosphere. Every team we went to play at so far, it was a great atmosphere, which picks up the whole basketball level as well. And I think it's a pretty good step for me coming here for the exposure and the level and all that stuff.
What was it like going to Chalet? You know, you went to Minnesota State, had a pretty successful career there at D2, and, you know, broke a lot of school records and everything else. And then, you know, first year, you're playing, you know, European competition, Lithuania, a country that's known for basketball. What was it like being in Chalet?
It was pretty good. It was a great step for me as a rookie year. Had a good team. We battled. We made it to the playoffs. Just like you said, Lithuania is one of the biggest schools of basketball in Europe. So me going there, I knew that I'm going to learn a lot in the European game. So I thought it was a good step for me and exposure, which led me to come in here. So it was a great step for me as a rookie.
National team, you were part of the team in 05. The one loss is so often is it's really the one game you lose or you don't lose, whatever. You guys lose in the quarters to Angola. You know, that puts you out of the medals. Maybe just thoughts going back to last summer. You know, finishing fifth, just in general, thoughts about that?
We always had a rivalry with Angola because we played the final with them, the African Championship, before it, and they end up with a W too. So going to the semifinals was a great game for us. They had really good players on the NBA draft and players like Marais and all that with great experience. This is like their sixth African Championship. So us going to them at the semifinals, we didn't get as lucky. But we just did what we had to do going throughout the first poll that we played at, and we beat every team pretty well, but when it came down to crunch time, we weren't able to pull it off.
You had been at two you've been to Afro Baskets before that, and you missed the 2014 with the knee surgery. What was it like for you to be back with Egypt? I mean, you know, obviously, you know, this is the highest honor that you can have, and you know, what was it like for you to be back, especially after missing 2014?
It was great. I was really excited. My dad was the head coach, so that was fun, and I was kind of nervous too, but he's a great defensive coach, which is good. But I was really excited and nervous at the same time, and the group of guys that we had gathered are really young, so which is really good for the next upcoming African Championships. So
let's go to your dad real quick then. What was it like playing for him, and you know, obviously he's had a lot of history, you know, also with the Egyptian national team. What was it like playing, you know, for him, and then with him on the sidelines, everything?
It was different. It was fun. He's really aggressive, but it was fun. He understood the game. He understood how I would like to play, and he understood when to pull me back in, and it was a lot of fun.
He played 84 Olympics. Did he play 83 in the African Championship? Do you know that? Well, that was the last time Egypt won. Do you know if he was on that team?
Yes. Yeah, he was.
He was
on that team, and he played with at the Olympics, and I think that was his last national team games, I think. Uh-huh. Not sure.
I know he played there,
yeah.
But I didn't know if he was on the 83. I haven't been able to find a roster yet.
Yeah,
but so he was on the African Championship?
Yeah.
You guys, you mentioned the youngsters, you know, you had El Amin who came in, you know, a young kid who went over to Texas, played college there. You know, there's other guys coming up. Do you feel that there's a changing of the guard on the national team?
There is, and even the chance of all the players and all the colleges opening the doors for the young Egyptian players to go play at in the NCAA, that will help us a lot with the national team, because we got a couple players coming from the U.S. from the NCAA, which will bring a lot of knowledge and a lot of pick up the whole basketball level back home.
Doesn't hurt having Anas going to ULV too, right?
Right, for
sure. Not ULV, Louisville.
Yeah. And I think Anas will be able to make it to the late second round NBA, I hope.
You didn't have Abdel Nader there, and he's at 15 at 2015 last summer. You know, obviously he's a guy that, you know, is in the mix in the NBA. How much do you think a guy like him coming in can help you guys?
He can help a lot, but I don't really know the guy, and I've never talked to him about coming to the national team, because he's never been on the national team, not even on a camp or nothing. So I don't know what's his thoughts about coming and playing for a national team. Mm-hmm. But if he did, of course, that would be great for us.
You guys have a new national team, senior national team coach with Juan Arenga. Obviously, he comes over from the Spanish National Federation, you know, helped them win the bronze in Eurobasket 13. You know, he's going to take over the 19s this summer, next summer. And you guys have Afrobasket qualifiers, just in general thoughts about having a guy like Arenga come in for the senior national team?
It's really good bringing a foreign head coach, especially because he won't have any favors from his team, because usually we have the Egyptian coaches, and they will have their own team coaching throughout the whole year, and then they will come in for the summer and trying to get their own team because they know their philosophy and stuff like that. Bringing in a new coach will be great for us, and he's a really big name, so it'll be a pleasure playing for him.
Obviously, they're hosting under 19 World Championship next year. You see them bringing in Arenga. What's it like having this commitment from the federation that they want to get you guys better?
Yeah, it's big time. It's big time. They've been putting in effort the last couple of years, way better and way more than they had in the past. And you can feel it in, like, they're spending more, and the budget's getting bigger. Even the hotels, the gyms that you practice at, and all this stuff is way better.
The AfroBasket 2017, it's in Congo. You guys have qualifiers coming up next spring, I guess it is. Is that one?
Not sure.
Is there any plan to play in it? Do you know? I mean, have they contacted you yet about the whole thing? Or?
Not yet. But if it's in spring, then my first commitment will be the club that I'm signed at. Mm-hmm. And then if I have time, for sure, I'll be more than happy to do that. And I've never like let down or not went to the national team for anything.
You had the under-19s, plus you had the three Afro baskets.
Right, that's yeah. So whenever I get called up, I just go no matter what. So if I had a chance, I'll go for sure.
What do you think about these windows that are come up starting next season, that during the season you'll have guys that you'll have national team games during the season? What do you think about the windows?
Yeah, I don't know. I always liked the way they did it before, just play the zone five and then have that qualify you to the African championship. Mm-hmm. But they switched it up for some reason. I don't know how I feel about that, because you have to play every team home and away before you can qualify or something like that. I'm not sure.
2017, let's say you guys qualify, you guys would probably be obviously one of the favorites. Mm-hmm. It's been 1983 was the last time you guys won African championship. Maybe just thoughts in general, you know, what would it be like to get there and maybe get there and get the, maybe bring finally another title back to Egypt.
It'll be great. We had a great support when we made the final 4 years ago. When we made the finals in Ivory Coast, that was great. There was even the whole country was behind us after the loss to Angola. So that would be a great time. It would be a great honor to bring that back to the country.
Back to Germany. For the last question, just in general, your thoughts about this year, what you want to do this year. You know, we said you came back, you came from Schalke, you played international competition. You know, Bayreuth's not playing international competition, but if you look at the game you guys played today, you know, you guys can play some pretty good basketball if everything's working. In general, thoughts about this year for you and also for a team?
Get as much wins as possible. Trying to lead the league in rebounds. And
you want to lead the league in rebounds?
Yeah, that's my goal.
Okay. I think the stated goal to lead the league in rebounding at 6.4 right now, and has had games of 9 and 10 so far. You're averaging 21 minutes, six rebounds. You look at everybody ahead of him. I guess there's only one guy ahead of him who's averaged fewer minutes. That's Cooley over at Ludwigsburg. Otherwise, everybody else has averaged more minutes than he has. With his 21, at least 5 minutes. Everybody at least 5 minutes more. So 6.4 rebounds in 21 minutes, pretty decent numbers. Has grabbed 1.6 offensive rebounds. I think he's got a pretty solid skill set. Has some good footwork in the post, and you know, is a grinder. And I think he'll probably be somewhere else next year too. I think it's a 1 year deal, and if he continues to play as well as he's playing, and then if he waits until after AfroBasket 2017, you know, maybe he's heading somewhere else to a bigger club, to even play more internationally. You know, than just, you know, a higher competition than the FIBA Europe Cup. You know, remains to be seen. One of the many interesting guys on a very interesting team by right there. You know, whether or not they can stay up there, you know, I mean, if they can stay right where they're at now in fifth place, then you. You know, you avoid one of the big ones, one of the big teams until the semifinals. But you know, that's a very, very long season, and there's some really good parts to the team, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make the playoffs. They're definitely on a good road right now. Again, they haven't beaten loads of great teams. You know, they lost to Ulm, but they've been beaten the teams that they have to beat. You know, they beat Fechter, they beat Würzburg at home in a derby, they beat Jena, they beat Braunschweig. So these are games they have to beat, they have to win if they want to reach the playoffs. or be a contender for the playoffs. And so now, you know, basically you go from there, and you know, it's going to be how they perform in the tougher games. You know, they look really good against Würzburg. You know, that was the game I went to, and that was a game where Wachowski had a really big game with his 3-point shooting. You know, but you know, you have a game going against their next game's against Gießen, and then they play at home against Berlin, then they play Frankfurt, Oldenburg, they play Tübingen, Ludwigsburg, Bayern. You know, so the next 3-4 weeks, you know, you're going to see, you know, much more clearly what this Bayreuth team can do. So I talked a lot about a team, Bayreuth, that not a lot of people in European basketball even know too much about. But a couple of interesting players, like I said, Robin Mais, the 22-year-old German, Assem Marai, who's 24. So, yeah. With that, I'm going to just let you know what you're going to be listening to as the final song, and then we'll head out and talk to you then next week. The song is called Han Solo, and it's by Captain Stew, and it's available on freemusicarchive.org. Enjoy it. Enjoy the hoops. Loads of it out there to watch. So many different things to watch. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you next week.
Take a chance with me. Don't change the channel like you're watching TV. Turn up the volume, I've got more to say. I think if we could start conversing, we'd be chatting all day. And in the evening, we could choose to roll our spliff, cook some dinner, and kick off our shoes. Step in tonight, we could live our delight. Come together in a frenzy when the feelings are right. And in the morning, I bet there would be time for toast, another spliff, a cup of Roybos tea. We got the music and we got the time. We got rhythm, we got music, we got Cape Town sunshine. You're not. Another date, we could stay up late, climb the roof, watch the stars, intertwine our fates. Under another sun, I would be the one. But what do you know, look at the time, seems I've got to run. Cause there are things that I can't control. See, I'm a man with a plan that just doesn't involve you. I get restless, a thought in my mind. I'm no monogamous man, I am a creature of a different kind. I'm on a trip, I must submit. I got my eyes in a price that makes love look like I can say, this could easily be the last time that you got a chance to hear from me. I gotta go in a spontaneous glow. When this road will end, but I just don't know. I get a grip. Slips, I want a tattoo on the side of my neck. I say I'm solo, but I feel that I can't control. Take a chance with me. Don't change the channel like you're watching TV.
Hi, this is Patrick Bauman, Secretary General of FIBA, and you're listening to Taking the Charge. Enjoy.